A proposal in Wisconsin's state assembly would lower the age required to apply for a concealed carry permit from 21 to 18. 18 to 20-year-olds are allowed to purchase firearms, but they're not allowed to purchase from licensed dealers. Instead, must buy from private sellers. We're talking now about concealed carry and gun rights and regulations for 18 to 20-year-olds here in the state. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you in favor of concealed carry generally? Do you think that the age should go from 21 down to 18 to apply for concealed carry permits? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Shay Sortwell is a Republican from Two Rivers representing Wisconsin's 2nd Assembly District. He's sponsoring this assembly bill that would lower the minimum age to apply for a concealed carry permit. Representative Sortwell, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Can you tell us why you want to lower the age here for concealed carry from 21 to 18?
Sure. You know, the issue is pretty basic. And I know, you know, you kind of kicked it off with this idea of this thing about gun rights and everything. But actually, I would actually say that it goes beyond gun rights. And it goes to the basic premise of equality under the law. And really, it's not really so much about the Second Amendment as it is about the 14th Amendment, which is that anybody who is an adult should be treated equally under the law. You know, if we have somebody who's 18, 19, or 20 years old, they have the same rights as somebody who's 22, 23, 24, 25, or 99 years old. And so that's what really this is about, is it's saying we can't kind of artificially pick an age and deny somebody an inherent right, the inherent right to defend yourself, simply because they're not 21 years old yet. If they are an adult, they have those inherent rights, and it is our duty under the Constitution to respect everybody's rights.
We do have some cases, some products, alcohol and tobacco, notably, where we do divide different kinds of adults, 18 to 20, 21 and up. I think you just hinted at this being a constitutional right. How would you distinguish, say, firearms from alcohol and tobacco?
Sure. Well, you know, we can have that discussion. And to be honest, I really am somebody who does support kind of one age of majority, that, you know, at that age, you know, we should treat you as an adult. And I think we should do that. If we want to choose 21, well, we can choose 21. But even on that, despite that distinction where I think the state should go and simply say, this is when you're an adult and you can vote and you can make contracts and you can drink and everything else. Even beyond that, though, I'm not aware of any provision in the Constitution, state or federally, that lists, you know, the inherent right to drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. But it does specifically say in the Constitution of the state that adults have a right to possess firearms for self-defense, for hunting, and for any other legal purpose. And then we have the Second Amendment of the federal Constitution that lists those rights. And so, you know, that's how this is different, is that we acknowledge this as an inherent right. And if it's an inherent right, it must be equal to all of our adult citizens.
Now, some critics of the idea to lower the law have pointed toward this sort of weird bit of federal law when it comes to the purchase of firearms by 18 to 20-year-olds. As I understand it, 18 to 20-year-olds can't buy them from licensed dealers and go through background checks. They can buy them privately. They're just worried, I think, about the more difficult to track and difficult to background check zone that would put these 18 to 20-year-olds in. Do you have thoughts on that concern?
Well, first of all, I would note that a circuit court this past summer actually noted that that's probably unconstitutional law right now anyways, to prohibit 18, 19, and 20-year-olds from purchasing handguns, once again, on kind of an arbitrary fashion. There's really no good reason why they should be denied those rights. And so that we'll see if that continues forward. That may end up being thrown out in our federal Supreme Court, say that you need to treat everybody equally before the law as it relates to that right as well. But even beyond that, even under current law, yes, it is true that somebody cannot purchase a firearm from a licensed dealer. They can either get it from a parent, they can get it, as you mentioned, from private party selling. But that's the point, isn't it? Is that's already legal under the law. They can already possess it in that way. What we are saying is, well, if you can already possess it, shouldn't we be able to simply follow the process that's in place right now for you to go to the state and go through the process and say, look, I've got training on how to use this firearm? I mean, do we feel safer right now with the idea that you can go out and buy it with, and we have no idea that you got it, rather than, hey, you know, Bill or Johnny or Sally decided to go out and get this permit. And now we know that you've got this permit and went through the training, so you actually know how to use them.
And as we wrap up, Representative Sortwell, what do you think about the prospects for passing this and the timeline?
I think it's going to pass in the Assembly tomorrow. Right? It's on the calendar for tomorrow. And I would be surprised if we don't move it through the full legislature. I think a lot of people understand that we need to treat everybody equally before the law.
Representative Sortwell, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Shea Sortwell is a Republican from Two Rivers representing Wisconsin's 2nd Assembly District. He talked to us about a bill he's sponsoring that would lower the minimum age to obtain a concealed carry permit from 21 to 18. You can join in with your thoughts on that idea at 800-642-1234. Now we're going to look at how this fits into concealed carry laws around the country and regulations for younger gun owners. Robert Spitzer is Distinguished Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the State University of New York at Cortland, author of over a dozen books, including 5 on gun policy. The most recent is The Politics of Gun Control. Robert, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So Wisconsin, we allow concealed carry 21 and up. This law would change it to 18 to 20. How does that fit in with concealed carry laws around the country?
Well, it is part of a broader movement that we've seen in recent years to loosen concealed carry laws and to make it easier for people to get guns and to carry, for civilians to carry them about with them. The thing is, people think of that as a return to our past, but it's actually the opposite of our past. From the late 1600s to the start of the 20th century, every state in the country except 3 restricted or completely barred civilian gun carrying. It's only been in the last few decades, beginning in the 1980s, where we've seen a new movement to make it easier for civilians to carry guns around with them. And there are perfectly good, not only, there's a legal constitutional question, but there's also a public policy question. And I think the idea of reducing the age from 21 to 18 raises a number of troubling problems, both with respect to public policy. And I don't think it imposes an undue constitutional burden to keep the age at 21.
What problems do you see it raising?
Well, most immediately, you're talking about handguns accessible to the ages 18 to 20. And we know that late teenagers in that age period are part of the cohort of people more likely to commit crimes. Most crimes are committed by young adults. In addition, we know that teenagers are still developing. They tend to be more impulsive, more subject to mood swings, that they tend to lack judgment and experience. They're subject to depression, anger. And we know that when handguns become more accessible, that is to say, when people turn 21, gun suicides increase. And it does matter what you use if you're contemplating suicide, and a gun is the most lethal method of suicide available. So it poses a risk in terms of suicide and also in terms of acting out behavior that we have seen repeatedly in the news.
As you heard from Representative Sortwell there, though, if we're making laws regarding things that are in the Constitution related to constitutional rights, shouldn't we treat all people we agree who are adults equally?
Well, the question begins with, what do you mean by an adult? And as you pointed out in the discussion, age of adulthood, depending on the activity involved, can range in the modern era from 18 to 21. But that question aside, we know that the Second Amendment does not bar gun regulation. Restricting guns from young people goes back decades and, in fact, nearly 200 years in our own past. And the government in general has wide latitude to regulate firearms. That also is part of the little known story of our gun past. And as a matter of public policy, the government is well within its rights to say that for a responsibility as significant as gun ownership, we believe that we should set the bar a little higher rather than a little lower. There's nothing magical about 18 versus 21, it depends on the activity. And given the history of gun regulations in all of these areas, the government, it seems to me, is well within its rights to impose regulations. And I would just add that the Fourth Circuit federal court decision that struck down gun regulations, rather handgun restrictions to 18, 19, and 20-year-olds was a decision that was then reversed a couple of months later. So the current law is not in the Fourth Circuit, sustains the 21-year-old age limit.
Let's bring on a caller now. Tom is with us in Lac des Flambeaux. Tom, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Tom?
I'm wondering, I mean, I'm all for the concealed carry to go down to 18, but like the purchasing of firearms, they should be able to purchase them at 18 as well.
Tom, thanks for the call. And that is kind of a weird wrinkle in federal law that we mentioned earlier, Bob, that, and correct me if I'm wrong, 18 to 20-year-olds can't buy from a federal licensed dealer who does background checks. They could buy from any other private gun seller. Could you talk about that, a bit of weirdness?
Yeah, that's exactly right, because the federal regulation occurs via the restrictions and the regulations that pertain to a federally licensed firearms dealer, an FFL. But in most states, you can purchase guns privately from a private person who, you know, wants to sell some guns or sells some guns on the side and who is not a licensed dealer and therefore doesn't fall under the federal rubric. It does seem a bit odd, and I think it's simply a limitation in terms of how that law is written. But it's true that if you're 18, 19, 20, and it's legal for you to get a handgun, yes, you could buy it from a private dealer.
Tom, thanks for calling on from Lac des Flambeaux. Bob Spitzer is with us, Distinguished Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the State University of New York, Cortland, talking to us about concealed carry policies, and especially those for gun owners between 18 and 20. A proposed Wisconsin law would lower the minimum age for concealed carry from 21 to 18. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see that change made? Do you have questions about how this works, what precedents there are around the country? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our talk with political scientist Bob Spitzer about laws on gun ownership and concealed carry under age 21. That is the current minimum age for concealed carry in Wisconsin. A proposal in the state legislature, we talked to one of the sponsors earlier, would lower that to 18. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on that or your questions. 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Blake is with us in Madison. Blake, hi.
Hi. So I'm a person of color for Madison. I'm a concealed carry holder. I'm all for the expansion of rights for permissible gun owners, 18, 19, and 20. I think this is just an evolution of Wisconsin politics. We saw the unbanning of automatic knives, which was originally in place to go after Hispanic and Black youths when switchblades were popular. I think this is just an evolution of that, where we're allowing permissible gun owners to practice their rights at 18, 19, and 20. These people can already vote. They can already own handguns and firearms. I don't see any reason we should bar them from a constitutional right. Thank you.
Blake, thanks for the call. Bob, what do you think?
Well, interesting point. He mentioned in passing knives. I'm assuming he's referring to what sometimes people call switchblades.
Right.
And I've spent a lot of time looking at old gun laws. One of the things you find is that when gun carrying was restricted, and again, this goes back over 200 years in America, so were certain specific name types of knives, knives that had long, thin blades or concealed blades that were used in interpersonal fighting. So the regulation of knives, in certain types of knives, is actually as old as the regulation of concealed carry, again, back to the 1800s and 1700s.
Blake, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Jim joins us now in Cedarburg. Jim, hi.
Thanks, Rob. I'd like to talk about the first half of the Second Amendment, basically militia types being regulated by the president, as it's stated. These people who aligned themselves or affiliated themselves with militias back in January 6th, shouldn't we have these people's names?
Jim, I don't want to go necessarily to January 6th here, Bob, but the idea he's mentioning the well-regulated militia part of the Second Amendment, has that part, as Jim says, gotten kind of lost in the ways laws have changed?
It kind of has gotten lost, and it's still in the amendment as much now as the day it was written back in 1789. But in terms of the people involved in the January 6th uprising in Washington, D.C. from last year, they called themselves militias, but they're not militias, and they were not militias a year ago. Anybody can use that name, but under law, the term militia means a citizen-based but government-organized and regulated military type body. And the term militia, unfortunately, has been distorted by groups like the people involved in the January 6th uprising last year.
Thanks for that call. And that's a change I think you've written about, Bob, between the idea of a collective right to own firearms in a well-regulated militia and an individual right to own and carry firearms. Can you talk about that transformation?
Well, sure. I mean, the Supreme Court brought that into sharp focus back in 2008 when they ruled for the first time that the Second Amendment provided a personal right of average citizens to have guns for personal protection in the home. And that kind of pushed aside the militia part. But that wording is still in the amendment. And more to the point, the militia-based focus or understanding of the Second Amendment was how it was interpreted in the first 200 years of our history. And the old style militias don't function today the way they did back in the 1700s and 1800s. And that's partly why the understanding of it has become obscured. But the government still has full regulatory power over what's called militias. And just because somebody says they're a militia, it doesn't make them a militia.
Thanks for the call. We'll go now to Andrew calling from Minnesota. Andrew, hi.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for having me. Everything that my man just said there was informative, and I appreciate you for being here and sharing all that. So, like, I first turned you on and heard the Republican senator, he was, I think.
Assembly rep, but close enough.
talking about the bill that he was writing. And, like, I think it's a shame that it doesn't include, because he was saying, like, hey, we could, as long as we're going to treat all adults the same, like, this arbitrary change between 21 and 18, like, specifically in regard to firearms, like, that seems, like, everything he said about that seems super reasonable, right? It's just a shame that the bill doesn't actually advocate for making it to where it's, like, 21 across the board, given, like, everything that the guy, the gentleman who's sitting there talking with you now was talking about. Like, I mean, who wants to give 18-year-olds more guns and to have them, like, in some capacity where they're going to be specifically used, like, as a weapon, right? For in the instance of concealed carry. And, like,
I gotcha, Andrew. Running a little short on time, Bob. A consistent adulthood standard of 21, I think Andrew is getting at.
Well, and that's a perfectly, you know, reasonable public policy argument you can make. And one of the reasons there's great concern about 18 to 20-year-olds is precisely we know that gun availability and easy handgun availability is closely tied to child suicides and also to violence. For example, 73 to 80% of school shooters got their guns from their homes or the homes of relatives and friends. So when handguns are readily accessible, and usually it's handguns that are used, by the way, not assault weapons, that when handguns are readily available, teenagers will sometimes blow a cork, they'll go up and shoot up a school or decide to kill themselves instead. And that's part of the problem with that in-between age of 18 to 20.
In our last couple of minutes, Bob, a thorny issue. I know one people have tried to research a lot over the years. What does concealed carry, the prevalence of concealed carry, do when it comes to crime rates, particularly violent crime rates? Do we have any kind of solid conclusions at this point?
Well, there are some pretty clear conclusions. There was a book that came out some years ago called More Guns, Less Crime, which made that exact argument, that the more guns civilian has, the lower crime rates are. But it turns out that that data was not properly presented. And when other people looked at that data, it proved to demonstrate basically the opposite. And in recent years, there have been some important studies, one in particular, that found that violent crime increased from 13 to 15% in states that had loose carry, civilian carry laws compared to states that did not. So there is a correlation between more violent crime and more proliferation and carrying of guns by civilians in society.
I know you're always watching for the latest developments in gun laws and court rulings around the country. What kind of things do you have your eye on right about now?
There's a very big case before the Supreme Court. It was argued back on November 3rd. No telling when the court will hand down its decision. It's a challenge to New York State's concealed carry law, which has a fairly strict standard. And I know about that law because I obtained a concealed carry permit through the New York State law process. And it's being challenged as essentially too strict. And it looks as though the court is poised to strike down that law in part or in whole. It's hard to know how far they are going to go. But one thing is clear to me, which is that the Supreme Court didn't agree to hear a challenge to this strict New York concealed carry law to also rule that to then uphold that law. I don't think they're going to uphold it. We just don't know when that decision will come down. It could be as early as March, could be as late as June. That'll be a very important case.
Bob, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
That's Robert Spitzer, Distinguished Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the State University of New York College at Cortland. He's the author of over a dozen books, including 5 on gun policy. He talked to us today about concealed carry and gun ownership under age 21. Earlier, we talked to Republican Assembly Representative Shay Sortwell, sponsor of a bill that would lower the concealed carry minimum age in Wisconsin from 21 to 18. Still time for you to share your thoughts on that and read more about it over at WPR.org. Catch up with the news coverage on that and share your thoughts in the comments section. You can also always tweet us at Central Time WPR. Let us know what you think.